Canucks fans, are you ready? You are listening to the Ducks and Pucks podcast with your hosts, Mike Walters and Eddie Jones. This is the number one home for Anaheim Ducks talk and analysis. Here we go.
Welcome to the show. This is your host, Mike Walters, along with my co-host, Eddie Jones. And we have a good show for you tonight. We're going to go over some updates on Lindholm that came out today. We're going to talk about the Ducks' last three games this past week against the Penguins, the Coyotes, and the Flames. And also going to preview next week coming up. And we're also going to have a little segment on the minor league players. A lot of good news around the OHL, WHL, and AHL. As the minor league players have been doing pretty good, and we're going to get into that at the end of the show. But we'll start off with the big news again. Obviously, it was Lindholm before being re-signed, obviously, in our previous shows. But this time, Eddie, we found out today, of course, from the Orange County Register, Eric Stevens, that Lindholm has his visa done, and he's on his way, which was also confirmed from his Instagram account as he took a picture of himself flying. And he's going to meet up with the team on the road trip. So there's some good news. We're going to have Lindholm back this week.
Yeah, it'll be nice to get him back. I mean, they've been doing pretty well without him. You know, obviously, he's not going to jump in and contribute offensively in a big way. But, I mean, we know how important he is defensively to this team. And just having him around and, you know, his possession numbers we saw last year are going to be huge for this team. And he's going to slot in, and arguably he is our best defenseman. You know, even though Fowler and Vaughton have been playing really well, it's going to be key to get him back. And, you know, one of the things we identified as being one of the issues with the Ducks is clearing that front of the net. And you know, that's his bread and butter right there. So I think bringing him back is going to be really, really key to the Ducks' success. And hopefully when he gets back in the lineup, they can string together some wins.
Yeah, and we don't know exactly which game. It could be Columbus, but it might not be until Carolina. You know, they're going to be playing those games coming up here this week. So it's, you know, a good chance it will be one of those two, possibly. If not, then we were definitely hoping it's Nashville. But that's kind of what it looks like right now. And based upon the Ducks roster, they wouldn't really have to make too many moves right now. As far as bringing Lindholm back, they'd be at 23, obviously not counting Thompson and Dupre, so they can kind of leave it where they're at. You know, they did send Sarbosa and Kase down, so they sent some of the forwards. So there's a chance maybe they send like Holzer down or bring up a forward. That's something that we'll have to watch this week that they could do, is, you know, the Ducks have played with just six defensemen in the last couple weeks, and last week, and we'll talk about these games. You know, the first one, Eddie, we were right on the money this week. We thought the Ducks would lose to the Penguins, and we thought they would beat the Coyotes and the Flames, and that's exactly what happened. The Ducks did go into the game though against Pittsburgh. You and I previewed this last week, and this was before knowing that Getzlaf and Richie were not going to play. So, you know, that did have some of an impact on this game, but the result was not kind in this game, Eddie, as the Ducks got down 2-0 in the first period. You know, Cam Fowler answered back and made it 2-1. But basically the second period was pretty much played in the Ducks' defensive zone, and Pittsburgh came away with a big win in this one, Eddie.
Yeah, and you know, early in the first period, you know, they looked all right. A couple of bad giveaways, obviously, on the Cullen goal, and then even on the Malkin goal itself, led to some goals for the Penguins. And then, you know, Fowler gets one back on the power play. But from there, you could just see they looked tired. I mean, they're coming off the back-to-back against playing LA. Obviously, they're able to rest some players in that game because they won 4-0, but you could see it. I mean, a lot of them were tired. No Getzlaf, no Richie in that game. So it's just severely weakened lineup, and they just didn't look good all night. They couldn't get really many chances. You know, Fleury did play well. They did put 33 shots on net. So, you know, I'm sorry, Murray did play well in that game. So it's a tough one. You know, it's when you're going again and you're going to play such a fast team after playing such a physical game against the Kings, it's a really tough back-to-back. Like, if you had to pick a tougher back-to-back, I don't think there would one. I mean, you're always going to play a physical game against the Kings. It's going to make you even more tired for the next night. Then you got to go play arguably the fastest team in the NHL. So it's a difficult one. You know, they got Letang back in this game. He was a factor in it. Like we said before, they got Murray back in this game, and he played great. So it's disappointing. I think if it wasn't on the back-to-back, they would have had a little better chance. They would have had their legs in the second and third period. But you know, it's kind of what you expect.
You know, I was a little surprised in this one too. I mean, obviously the Ducks didn't have Getzlaf and Richie, and not making excuses, but that's just, you know, the way it went that night. And like you said, Pittsburgh got Letang and Murray back. But I was surprised that Gibson did start in this game because two reasons. Obviously, he played last the night before, and of course he did well against LA, obviously. But we know how he's done against Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh, for some reason, even though it's his hometown, this team has got him solved. I mean, I hate to say that, but it's true. I mean, he's just had a really rough time. So, now, you know, I was kind of surprised. I know he, like I said, played well against the Kings. I kind of rather have gone with Bernier, though, in this game. That's just it's easy to Monday morning quarterback, obviously, but just knowing the history, even despite the back-to-backs with Gibson playing against Pittsburgh, I thought that was just an interesting call, Eddie, because, you know, maybe it would have changed the outcome. Maybe not. I mean, you know, Pittsburgh still played a great game. They still, you know, was dominant, especially in the second period on, but, that was just something that I wanted to throw in there, and I wonder what you thought about that. If you were kind of surprised, or you thought no, he did well, and just roll with him again, or what did you think?
You know, I think it might have come down to it was Bernier 100% ready. You know, obviously Tokarski went down, Bernier was ready to back up. I don't know if he was 100% ready to come in and start the game. That might have played a factor in it. But if he was, I don't see why they wouldn't have started him. I mean, I would have liked to see Bernier start if he was ready to go. Because, you know, playing a game the night before, it is difficult for any goalie. You know, you look at the best in the league, it's difficult for anybody to come in and play, you know, any team, especially the Penguins, a night after. And obviously, again, like you mentioned with the struggles he's had against the Penguins in the past, you know, it's a difficult decision to kind of sit with. You know, you wonder why they went with him. So that's why I think maybe Bernier wasn't 100% ready to start. They weren't comfortable with starting him yet. That's the only reason I could really draw up of why they would have gone with Gibson in this game.
Yeah, and that is a good point that you bring up. I mean, maybe he wasn't exactly 100%. I mean, he did come in later in the game, you know. So, I mean, maybe he was okay for a part of a game and not a whole game. I mean, I don't know. We don't know exactly. But anyways, in any event, the Ducks didn't play well in this game. There was one other play in here that I didn't really like, and I know some of the fans, especially around me, and you know, I know you watching at home as well, saw on the second goal in the first period by Matt Cullen, it looked like it was offsides. They reviewed it, made that little joke about the tiny iPad. I don't know why they review these plays on that little screen. I don't get it. But it was kind of interesting, Eddie, on this one. From what we saw in the game on the big screen, it looked like it was offsides. It was pretty close. But and you and I have gone back and forth on this and whether or not we think it's a, you know, good call or wrong call. But it really just goes back to the initial call. I mean, if that's what it is and the evidence isn't 100%, you know, they're going to stick with the on, you know, the call on the ice to on the initial play.
Yeah, and you know, from watching it on TV, you could see how difficult of a decision it was. It was extremely close. You could argue both sides of it, but I think when it comes down to it, if you can't really decide, you have to go with the rule, and you have to go and say the call on the ice has to stand if you can't make a decision. So I think in the end they got the right call, but it, you know, obviously it's disappointing because it goes against the Ducks. But when you can't really tell and it's that close, you know, you have to make a decision, and if you have to go with the call on the ice, you have to. So I mean, like I said, it's disappointing a win against the Ducks, but I don't think it really changed any bit of the game. I don't think if that hadn't accounted, the Ducks would have all of a sudden got back into it and won the game. You know, they looked tired all night, so I don't think it really played a factor into, you know, into the final outcome.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I just hate how these, you know, close calls have been going, and, you know, oftentimes it seems it goes against us. But I agree with you. Stuff like that, especially in this game, I don't think it would have mattered. I don't think the Ducks were going to prevail. Anyways, you know, like I said, they were kind of lucky in that second period because Pittsburgh really dominated and only scored one goal. So I was shocked they didn't score more. You know, obviously they turned it on in the third again and scored more. But like you said, it wouldn't have changed the outcome. And with that game, the Ducks had to move past that. You know, as we said, they win big, they lose big. And then they hosted Arizona on Friday, and the Ducks win this one 5-1. So they flip the score, and they play well. against the Coyotes. Silverberg scored in this one. Raquel scored in this one. Raquel actually scored twice. And the Ducks played well. Even Bieksa got a goal in this one. So, I mean, this was a pretty fun game if you were a Ducks fan at the way that they took out the Coyotes, Eddie.
Yeah, I mean, the power play kept rolling in this game. They went 1-for-3, and they've really trended upward in the last few games. And it was just a fun game to watch. You know, Raquel had another great night, a second three-point night since coming back. And he's been, you know, a real great addition to this team. You know, goal scoring, obviously getting the 6 points in four games so far, but just his creativity and his ability to make plays off, you know, away from the puck as well, has been huge for the Ducks. So, you know, you would expect this game against Arizona. We mentioned that in the preview. You know, Arizona and Calgary are two teams who are struggling to keep pucks out of the back of the net. So I think it was good that the Ducks came into this game and able to win big, especially without Getzlaff and Richie again in this game. So, you know, Raquel stepped up in this game. Perry had two assists. Vermette had 2 points in this game as well, along with a goal. So I think it was a huge statement game from the Ducks. I think, you know, it was good that they could get the win without the captain, obviously without Richie. You know, they had to break up the line that had been so good for them this season for the second game in a row, and they were able to get scoring from different parts of the lineup, you know, from Raquel's line, from Silverberg's line, from Vermette, and even from Bieksa on the power play. So I think it was a good bounce back game for them and overall good effort.
Yeah, and you know, last season when the Ducks played Arizona, Duclair and Domi both kind of ran wild, you know, scoring goals and assists. That was in our game preview, you know, and the battles that they had last year. And so this, you know, at least this game, the Ducks shut both of them down. They didn't score. But the other story in this game is the Domi-Kessler fight, which you saw Domi kind of land a little bit of a jab that got Kessler a little off balance, and then he uppercuts him and knocks him out. I thought, you know, I was just like, wow. I mean, I was kind of surprised because, you know, I don't think I've ever seen Kessler get rocked like that, at least not in the last couple seasons. So that was kind of interesting. But at the same time, he got up and went to the locker room, and I mean, he wasn't gone long. He came right back, but you know, that added a little bit of element in this. And you saw this game get a little nasty as Arizona got frustrated, and there was all kinds of, you know, little extracurricular activities throughout this game.
Yeah, and somebody's obviously learning from their dad in the way that Domi approached that fight. I mean, he's obviously a different player, and he's more of a playmaker, like you said, with him and Duclair and how well they did against the Ducks last year. But I mean, offensively, they shut him down on the ice. But I mean, in this fight, Domi shut down Kessler early with one punch. So I mean, I'm glad Kessler's okay. Obviously, probably just went to the locker room because he got knocked out. You could see him, you know, pretty much on that uppercut, he got knocked out and fell to the ice. So, and an interesting, you know, about for Kessler, like you said, you don't really see that happen to him too often. He usually can handle himself in the fights that we've seen him take place in, and he's a pretty gritty guy. So I think, you know, obviously it's great that he didn't get hurt, but obviously his pride must have got hurt in that fight, because it's tough to lose to anybody, but when you lose to a rookie, you lose to a younger guy like Domi, it probably hurt his pride a little bit.
Yeah, you know, one thing I was kind of waiting for in this game was to see if anybody would really go after Domi. And I was like, hey, Wagner, Bull, anybody going to go, you know, take a little smack on him? And I really didn't see it. I was kind of surprised that the Ducks decided to take it out on the scoreboard instead, which, I mean, of course, we all want them to win everything. So I thought that was kind of interesting. I thought at least somebody would, you know, not take an illegal check necessarily, but, you know, maybe give him a little extra or something. So, I mean, there was, you know, other little things going on all over the ice throughout the game. But the other part of this that was lost in there was, you know, Kase, he got his first NHL point. He got an assist on the Vermette goal. So that was good to see, which, you know, we're going to talk about the younger guys later in the show. There's all kinds of stuff going on with the guys in the minor leagues, which is good to see. But, you know, we've been seeing it this year, Eddie, is obviously the Ducks, you know, with some injuries here and there, and, you know, Raquel not coming back till later, and Lindholm as well. We've seen, you know, some of these minor league guys coming and playing, and, you know, some of them have been playing on a regular basis. So it's good to see that when we've got other guys helping and contributing on the scoreboard, you know, from the minor league.
Yeah, and it was good, too, was to see Gibson bounce back from the bad game against the Penguins. I mean, he should have had a shutout in this game. he made a really, really good save on Jamie McGinn. It just the rebound bounced right into a spot where McGinn can put it into the back of the net. So it was unfortunate for him. But I think other than that play, even on that play, he had a, like I said, made a great save. So I think he had a really good bounce back game here, and it was big for the Ducks for him to come out and play well, even, you know, against Arizona, who don't score a lot of goals. But, you know, even if you're going to put up five, you still need a good effort from your goalie. And sometimes, you know, it does get lost in a 5-1 game on how well Gibson played. So I think kudos to him for coming back and having a strong game.
Yeah, you're right. And I agree 100%. You know, I mean, he stopped 21 out of 22, you know, shots on net. So, I mean, it was a solid performance for him, like you said, you know, after having that rough game against Pittsburgh. And the Ducks, you know, in this week after they played Arizona, we then had Calgary come to town, which, you know, everybody knows about Calgary and the streak here, the 23 game regular season losing streak at Honda Center, which, you know, tied the record that the Flyers had against the Penguins. And the Ducks went into this one. The first period was actually, you know, pretty, you know, evenly played. Stoner got a goal, and Chiasson got one. It was 1-1 after one, but then the Ducks turned it on in the second and third. You know, Kessler dropped a couple. Cogliano leading the team with 5 goals. I mean, who would have thought that? And the Ducks won this game. And, you know, again, like we talked about, win big, lose big. You know, they win this one 4-1. They extend that winning streak to 24 games now, Eddie, against Calgary.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to believe that it's gone on this long, and they showed the stat during the game when I was watching how many different goalies have got wins in this, and it's just insane. I think it's with Bernier's win, it's around 7 or 8 different goalies for the Ducks have gotten wins against the Flames during that streak. It's just an insane stat. I mean, you don't see it often, and I mean, you look at the last time it was done, it was with the Penguins and the Flyers, and way back then when that happened. I mean, it's an unbelievable thing to happen, and how many players have come and gone in this organization, in both organizations, and for it to still go. I mean, it obviously gets in these guys' heads, but at some point, it's just, you got to stand back and look at how ridiculous it is that this has just continually happened for over a decade.
Yeah, and I was telling people about the game. I was like, hey, can we play Calgary every home game? I mean, you know, it's like, it just almost seems automatic. I mean, you know, like I said, the first period it was 1-1, and you didn't really know what was going to happen after that. But from the second period on, the Ducks took control in this game. And, you know, it's just another good performance for the Ducks. You know, they won in the faceoff circle again. The power play, they were 2-for-3. You know, Cogliano, you see him, you know, he gets that shot. He gets blocked. He gets the rebound. He scores again. We've seen him do that a few times. Getzlaff and Richie came back in this game. Getzlaff with assists. He tied Teemu Selänne all time on the franchise record for assists, 531. So that was good to see as well. And also kind of lost, and this is the goalie thing too, Eddie Bernier. He gets his first win as an Anaheim Duck.
Yeah, and he played a solid game. I mean, in the first period, he was needed. The Ducks started out really strong in that first period, but Calgary came out in the second half, obviously got that goal, and they finished the first period with more shots and more scoring chances. So I think it was a big, you know, first period for him, and a strong game out from him too. And really, after the Ducks got those 2 goals in the second period, they really, you know, shut up shop and didn't really attempt to get too much going offensively. They kind of just tried to hold it out and go for the win. Obviously, it worked out, but Bernier was still strong in the chances that that Calgary had, and he turned away 25 of 26 and had a really strong effort. And, you know, when you're looking to get that out of your backup goalie, he's not going to play a ton of games this season. We've seen that with, you know, obviously Gibson playing the back-to-back and playing the majority of the games this season. But when you can get an effort like that from your backup goalie and a guy who has struggled in the past, what we've seen with Toronto, it's nice to see him come over and have a strong game and get his first win.
You know, and with that topic about the goalie situation, we'll go into some of our fan questions. We had a lot of good fan questions this week. And one of them talks about the goalies, just what you're talking about, from Ryan. He goes, you know, and asks, what's the possibility of Bernier being the number one goalie? You know, he prefaces it by, you know, towards the end of the season. I still would say Gibson. I mean, Bernier, I do want to see him play some more. Like I said, I wanted to see him in that game against Pittsburgh. I do think, of course, his health was somewhat of an issue, obviously, this last week and a half or so. But I would like to see him play more games. and I think he will maintaining his health. But I don't see him being number one, taking over for Gibson. I really don't. I know there's some people still out there that look at, you know, the whole Anderson thing and him in Toronto and all this and yada 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 whatever. And I'm, you know, we don't have that back and forth as much this year. But I'm of the opinion, Eddie, and you can agree or disagree with me, is I still say Gibson's number one, and he's going to be number one unless, you know, all of a sudden somehow he plays terrible for several games or something.
Yeah, I think it comes down to consistency. If And they're going to give him some leeway, too. They want him to be the number one guy. He would have to be bad for a long stretch before Bernier could take over the number one, and then Bernier would have to come in and consistently play well. I mean, there's a lot of things that have to go right and wrong for each goalie for that to happen, and I think, you know, Gibson's been strong in the outings he's had. He's had a couple bad games, but his numbers are pretty good as well, and, you know, obviously Bernier's coming in and only really started, I believe, only two games, and he's came in relief in a couple games. But no, I think it's good to have both of them playing well, but like you said, I think it would take a lot for Bernier to be the number one goalie at the end of the season. I don't see it happening. You don't move a guy out for like Freddie Anderson out of the team if you don't think Gibson's going to be your number one goalie for this season and beyond.
I completely agree. And one other little note on that, too, a little side note. I don't know if anybody of you saw that Vancouver-Toronto game, but if you didn't see it, you see Freddie get into it, which was pretty interesting. There's a GIF out there, My Regular Face on Twitter, and a whole bunch of the other accounts put out GIFs out there. So just a little side note. If you didn't see it, go check out there. I know we commented on it on the Ducks and Pucks Twitter as well, but it's pretty crazy. You see Anderson come in there and do like a flying you know, WWE move or something. I don't know. It's just crazy because those two teams went at it. But anyways, yeah, I agree with you. Gibson's going to be the main guy unless something serious, you know, as far as his play goes downhill or something like that. Another good question we had was from Darren. He asks, which was kind of a repeat question. In the past, people had asked us if we thought the Ducks would be cup contenders. You and I had talked about it, and we said we didn't think so, not yet. And he asked, you know, what do we think now? Has it changed? And I honestly don't think it has. And it's kind of funny because I had someone on Twitter say that I was a big homer for the Ducks, which I thought was kind of ironic, you know, in answering some of these questions. And I don't think he listens to our show, but no, I don't think so. I mean, have the Ducks played better? Yes. Have they won games by big scores? Has the offense been scoring? Yes. But they've also lost games, too. I mean, you know, the way that they played against Pittsburgh, I mean, I don't know. You know, Columbus, too, who we're going to be playing, you know, this coming week as well. So do I think that they're a playoff team? Absolutely. Do I think that they're a Stanley Cup team? I'd still say not yet. I mean, obviously, Raquel coming back definitely helped the team. We've seen him already get 6 points in four games, which is great. We've got scoring all over the place. From, you know, Coghlan's been scoring. Fowler's been blowing it up. We've seen all of those things, and Lindholm coming back is going to help too. I'd give it another month or so. See where the Ducks are in another month when Lindholm comes back. Hopefully they stay healthy. And if the Ducks go on a tear, you know, come through this, you know, the holidays in November and December, then maybe. But as of right now, Eddie, I'm still in the same boat. I think they're a playoff team, but not quite a cup contending team.
Yeah, I think a lot would have to go right for them to be a cup contending team. I think they're still one of the best three teams in the Pacific Division. I do like that they've been scoring goals lately. Obviously, they scored, you know, a majority of their goals were against Nashville in that 6-1 game against Arizona and Calgary in the last two games. And Arizona and Calgary have allowed they're two of the worst teams in goals against average in the league. And Nashville has been struggling this season. So, I mean, there's a lot. What you take from that, what you will. I mean, I still think they need to add a goal scorer to be a Stanley Cup contender, a top 6-1. You know, they are sitting 14th in the league in goals per game, but there's a lot of guys that have a high shooting percentage above their career high as well. You'd expect them to eventually regress. So I think there's some things they need to address before that we can say they're Stanley Cup contenders. And like you said, I think it's too small of a sample size right now. I think, talk to me at the beginning of December after the Ducks have played the Oilers and the Kings and the Rangers and the Blackhawks, the Sharks and the Canadians all in pretty much in a row there in that stretch that they have at home. Talk to me at the beginning of December after those games, and if they've done well against those teams and they've showed a good performance, then I think then we can start to draw a better idea of what type of team this is. But we still don't even know. We haven't even got Lindholm. Lindholm hasn't even played a game this season with the Ducks, and he's a key player to this team. So once he comes in, once, you know, obviously Getzlaff and Richie are finally back, once everybody's healthy and ready to go, I think we'll have a better picture of where this team could finish and how far they can go.
Yeah, I agree with you exactly. I mean, the schedule coming up here, over the holiday time, like you said, they're going to play the Kings again. They're going to have to face the Sharks, the Blackhawks, you know, the teams that have, you know, played the Ducks difficultly. So I agree with you. They're going to have to go through that. It's still early. We haven't had the whole team. And I think consistency has been part of the issue. And that was a question I asked Dan Wood, and they were talking about it too on the intermission show in between the games. And one thing I think too is you got to look at this team, and, you know, they've been playing with, you know, 3, 4, 5 guys from the AHL. And the thing that I've kind of noticed with this Ducks team, and I know it's not the whole team. You've only got a handful of guys that are from the minors that are up playing, and, you know, they're not regulars in the NHL. But part of this is, you know, it is chemistry, having to change with people being hurt as well, not having Raquel, like we said, and like you mentioned, Lindholm coming back. But I've noticed with this team, it's kind of interesting. It's almost whoever scores first kind of wins. I mean, you look at Pittsburgh, they score first and that's it. The Ducks are done. You know, you see the Ducks score first and then they score another one and they win. It's kind of weird, but it seems like, just to me, that, you know, this is, you know, every sport is played with emotion. We all know that. That's just common sense. But it seems to me, for some reason, when the Ducks score first, there's just a little bit more, you know, in their step. There's just a little bit more energy. And it seems like when they get scored on first, it's like, uh-oh, here we go. I mean, and I know it's not, I'm not saying that about the whole team, obviously. That's not, you know, to generalize, but just, I think it's just something that some of the younger players may be experiencing, and it's something that, you know, they have to just work on. You know, if that they get scored on first, it's not a big deal. You know, just keep going, you know, work it out. I mean, because before, this team used to be the comeback champs, you know, the comeback kids, you know, the last couple seasons. Now this year, it's been kind of different. It's like they get down by a couple and then it's like, forget it. So I think that's something that they'll have to work on. And it's just kind of something I noticed, Eddie, as far as the team. In some of these first periods, it just seems like if something goes wrong or even like a bad call or something, you know, just like I was talking about in that Pittsburgh game, you know, they gave it one goal. Then it was an iffy one with, you know, Cullen's goal. And then it just kind of seemed like, okay, you know, they did get the one back from Fowler, but after that, they just couldn't really answer. So I don't know what your take is on it, but to me, it almost seems like they've just got to be able to play in any kind of situation, whether they score first or get scored on.
Yeah, I think that you kind of have to shrug things off and keep going. We've seen, you know, Getzlaff mention that before, and I believe Kessler's mentioned that before too. But I mean, I think we're a little bit privileged the last couple seasons ago when they were the comeback kids. I think a lot of people were expecting that just to magically happen again, and they were so good at coming from behind that season. It was almost like it didn't matter if they were down 3 or 4, they were going to come back. And I think we're expecting to see something like that happen again, but that doesn't happen often. I mean, it's a natural trend in the NHL that if you score first, you have a better chance at winning. That's just how it is. That's just how the game's played. And I mean, obviously we'd like to see them, you know, shrug it off if they get scored first. And I think they can work on that. I think that is an issue for them right now. But there's no way we're going to see them go back and come back in the way they did a couple seasons ago. It's just not going to happen again. It doesn't happen often in the league. We saw Calgary do it a couple seasons ago as well. I mean, it seems to be almost every season there's about one team who is kind of like that, and rarely do you see it at the same level as the Ducks were when they did it in Calgary when they were doing that as well. So I think it's something they can work on, but I mean, we'll have to see.
Yeah, I agree. And I think when they get all the players back, you know, like we said, you know, now that you have Getzlaff and Richie back, Raquel and then Lindholm on this trip, that'll help out as well. And that goes with another question we have. We have Braden asks about, you know, the Ducks winning the division, you know, if they should worry about that or if they should worry about the overall style of play and chemistry. And that's kind of what we were talking about. And I've been talking with some people at the games about this too. Nobody cares, or at least a lot of us don't care about winning the division. I mean, we've seen it 4 seasons in a row. The Ducks haven't got past the Western Conference Final to get to the Stanley Cup Final. So to me, I mean, who cares about the Pacific Division banner? To me, it's all about getting the chemistry, getting the lines down, and staying healthy. That's another huge thing. I mean, obviously, this is, you know, one of the roughest sports in the world. So, I mean, obviously, injuries are going to be a factor. But I think if the Ducks can work on the chemistry, you know, I like the Richie, Getzloff, and Perry line. I like that they're keeping the Kessler line together from last season. And I really like Raquel, Vermette, and Cam Rosa. I think that's a really good line. They've had some good chemistry, and they've been putting some points on the board too. I like those three lines. And then the fourth line, you know, you just throw whoever you want on that line, really. I mean, that's the way it's been. But that's what I like, and I like how the lineup's been going so far.
Yeah, I think they've done a really good job at finding that chemistry. Like you said, I think Richie, Perry, and Getzloff have worked really well together. Their possession numbers have been great. Getzloff and Perry have been, you know, the best two players on the team, which they should be. Kessler and Cogliano and Silfverberg have all played well this season so far. And Raquel has slotted on that line with Vermette, you know, perfectly. And they've been great since Raquel's came into the lineup. The last four games, they've been on a tear. Raquel has 6 points in four games, and Vermette's up to 7 points on the season now. So I think that's great for them. And obviously, Cramaros has fit in nicely on that line as well. I mean, that's an interchangeable part. I think even if you do take Cramaros off that line, you could slot anybody in there if you wanted to, and I think it would still work out. But he has been a good addition to that line. With the physical play and the forechecking that he brings, so I think they've got three solid lines that they can run with right now. Once Lindholm comes in, that changes up the defense pairing a bit, but it doesn't really affect the forward. So I think they should continue to work on that chemistry, continue to build the style of play that they want to play with, and then maybe you can focus on winning the division. But I don't think they're worried about it. I don't think we should really be worried about it. No, it's going to be a battle with the Kings, probably, with the Sharks and with the Oilers this season as well. So if you don't win the division, I don't think it's a big deal. We saw it last year. We didn't really care about them winning the division when we just wanted them to make the playoffs, how bad they were playing last year. And then, of course, they somehow end up winning the division, and it was kind of icing on top of the cake. So if it happens again this year, then great. But if it doesn't, I don't think we're too worried about it.
Yeah, and you kind of touched on the division and you know, the teams battling it out. And that's the next fan question we have for Matt. He asks if, you know, four teams from the Pacific Division can make the playoffs. And yeah, I don't know. That's a tough one. I mean, you can't overlook the Central Division. I mean, that's a tough division. You know, obviously the Blackhawks are always up there. You know, St. Louis, Minnesota. I mean, Nashville, obviously they haven't been doing as well. But I mean, still, you got all these teams in the Central. I mean, they could. If they do, I still, you know, see obviously the Sharks are up there, Edmonton's up there, and the Ducks. You know, maybe the Kings. I mean, Budaj hasn't been doing too terrible for LA. So, I mean, I could see four teams, but I mean, again, it's real early. You know, we've usually seen the Central carry, you know, the five with the two wild cards, and then the Pacific with three. I kind of think that's what's going to happen, but it's a long season. I mean, it can, you know, things can change, like we said, and you mentioned, you know, the Ducks went from, you know, last all the way to winning the division. So it's early. Is there a possibility they could pull four, you know, from the division? They could, but, you know, long way to go.
I think there's more of a chance this year than there was last year. I think the Blackhawks and the Blues are kind of locks to be in the playoffs. Minnesota's taking a step forward this year. They're playing really well, but you're looking at some of these teams here. You know, Nashville, they're not playing as well as they did last year. A lot of people have them as favorites for the Western Conference, and you know, some people have them as Stanley Cup champions this year, and they're struggling still. They're finding a lot of issues and putting the puck in the back of the net. You look at the Stars, they're not scoring at close to the rate that they did last year, though the way they blew out the league in goal scoring last year, you know, their defensive issues are still catching up with them. They're not having great goaltending again. And since they're not scoring their goals, they're struggling. They got a below 500 record. So, I mean, if they can't remedy that, and if that continues to plague them all season, if the same thing continues to happen with Nashville, if they stop getting scoring, you know, Forsberg, I don't think has scored a goal for them this season, and that's a huge loss for them. If they can't get their goal scoring going, you know, you could see the Ducks and the Oilers and the Sharks and the Kings make the playoffs out of the Pacific Division. So I think there's more of a chance than any year. It'll be interesting to see how the Kings can continue to play without Jonathan Quick. They've done a a pretty decent job actually of playing without him lately, and Budai stepped in and done pretty well for them. So it'll be interesting to see how it pans out. But you know, I think it's more possible. But you know, that Central Division, all it takes is Dallas to get on a roll and play like they did last year, and you could see easily four teams come out of the Central again.
Yeah, I agree exactly. And another question, kind of going to the playoffs and all that, you know, we have Thomas asks us, you know, if the Ducks, you know, play well and they're a contender, you know, obviously in the playoffs and the Cup again, it goes towards the whole trade issue, which, you know, we talked about this a little bit earlier in the show. We really talked about it, you know, in last week's show, obviously, when Lindholm finally got re-signed. But he wants to know if things go well and the Ducks look like they're going to make, you know, the playoffs and be a contender, or are they going to, you know, make a trade for the stretch run in the playoffs? And of course, you know, the name that comes up, you know, every time, everybody knows it's Fowler, of course. But I still think they're going to have to make a trade regardless of where they're at. And I mean, the only really thing that puts a wrench in it is Dupre and his health and what happens if he returns or doesn't return, and the Ducks figure out that contract. But you know, we talked about this on the show last week. You still have Thompson that has to come back. The Ducks are, you know, dangling on that, you know, cap space line with the long-term injury reserve for Dupre and Thompson. If they're going to get it figured out, they're going to have to do something. And I still think, even though the Ducks are scoring a lot of goals, and I know right now a lot of people are like, oh, the offense is great and they're doing well. Yeah, they are. They're scoring goals, but as you mentioned, Eddie, they played Arizona and Calgary. I mean, they're not really the toughest defensive teams in the world. And, you know, you saw what the Ducks did against Pittsburgh. So that's, you know, I kind of take it as a measuring stick looking at these games recently. And I still wouldn't rule out the possibility of the Ducks, even if it's not Fowler, at least trading somebody from the defense to get a forward, especially come, you know, the trade deadline.
Yeah, I think the big issue is, like you said, is they kind of still need to make a trade. People still kind of forget that they're only under the cap because of the long-term injury reserve. Well, we don't know how long Dupre is going to be out. It could be out for the whole season. You know, his career could be over. We don't know. With concussions, you never know. But the fact of the matter is Thompson will be back this season. He will be back. And once he comes back, well, then the Ducks are over on the cap. And something's going to have to happen. And, you know, Fowler's been playing great, and it's going to be tough to lose him. And you just don't know. I mean, he's the most likely guy to get traded. It's the easiest guy probably to move out. It's, you know, Stoner, they haven't had any luck doing that. BX has got a no-move clause, and you just don't see them trading him in the middle of the season. As much as I would love for him to be the guy to be traded, you just don't see that really happening. And then, obviously, Dupre with his injury, it's just not likely. But, you know, it's an interesting situation because you're going to have to make a trade. You probably don't want to trade Fowler. I think it also depends on how ready Theodore is as well. So a lot of moving parts in what could happen for the Ducks, and I think definitely by the trade deadline, something's going to be done.
You know, we had another question on this too from James, you know, on Twitter. He asks about Botnin being traded, which, you know, a lot of people haven't talked about that, and the reason why he throws that out there is what you mentioned is, you know, you have the power play. Obviously, Fowler can quarterback it. You've seen Botnin on there. Theodore, Lindholm. So you have all these guys that can, you know, lead the way in the power play. And so that's another option. To me, I don't think so. I just don't see Botnin or even Lindholm being traded after both the deals that they signed. So I don't think that's a possibility. I still go back towards Fowler, and it also goes back towards the expansion draft, which you and I talked about in the last show, as far as the way the Ducks are going to protect their players. Most likely they're going to protect 7 forwards and 3 defensemen. So if that's the case, you have Votnin, Lindholm, Manson, and Fowler. You have those 4. I mean, you can't protect all 3 of them. I mean, you can't protect all 4 of them. You can only protect 3 of them. So they're going to have to try to, you know, figure something out there. I mean, you could let Manson go, but even if you did, that's not going to give you enough room to cover Dupre and Thompson. So, you know, I hate to say it, it still goes back to Fowler, Eddie.
Yeah, I mean, they're... might be a chance that Votnin's name comes up near the trade deadline as well if something with Fowler doesn't work out. But I think with him signing a contract recently and just how important he is to this team and him being a right-handed shot, I think it's tough for to really say that he would be a guy who could be moved. You know, maybe Montour gets a shot with the Ducks this season, comes up and is amazing. And then it makes Votnin, you know, not necessarily expendable, but another option, a cheaper option, and bringing up Montour. I doubt that happens. I'm sure Montour will get a couple shots with the Ducks this season, but I don't think he's going to come up and replace Sammy Vatanen. But, you know, that is a scenario that could happen. But, you know, Fowler still is the most likely option for a guy to get traded. And really, I mean, he's doing all he can to boost his trade value right now. I mean, he's got 8 points in 13 games, six of those points on the power play, showing what we expected of him over the last few seasons. So, if they do end up moving him, they're going to get a lot more than we thought they would at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he's definitely been up in his trade value with his play. And don't get me wrong. I mean, on a personal note, I don't want him to trade Fowler. I'm a big Fowler fan. I always have been. I don't want him to. I'm just telling you the way that the signs point to it as far as the cap numbers and the expansion draft rules and, of course, all the talk that gone on over the summer, which, of course, none of it ever came to fruition, but that's only because of Dupre and Thompson being on the injury reserve. So that's just something we're going to have to keep an eye on. Obviously, we won't have to worry about it for the next couple months, but, come the new year, look for all those, rumors and trade talk and all that to come up because, a few weeks out from the trade deadline, that's when it all starts up again. One last question here, and this goes into the next couple weeks' games as well, is Garrett asks about Lindholm, and when he returns, is he going to have any kind of adjustment period coming back? And again, like we said in the beginning of the show, we don't know if he's going to be back for Columbus or Carolina. We think he'll be back, hopefully, one of those two games as he's flying to meet up with the team. But I don't really see him having too much of an adjustment period. I mean, he's been practicing over in Sweden. I think he's going to come in and be just fine. I was actually a little bit more concerned about Raquel, and I mean, he's come in just fine. So I don't see any concern, Eddie. I think Lindholm's going to come right back in and be great.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was going to say. I thought Raquel was going to have to come back and adjust, especially coming back from surgery and everything, and he was going to have a couple games where he just wasn't that good. And I was wrong about that, so I don't really know if I want to predict if Lindell's going to come back and do well or not, because I was completely wrong about Raquel. But no, I think he's in a different situation. He's not coming back from injury. He's been practicing from what we saw with a team over in Sweden, so he should be game ready coming over. Well, like we mentioned before, I don't know if he'll start with Columbus. They might want to, since it's a back-to-back, sit him out for the first game. You can see how the Ducks are playing, get a practice in, and then maybe play against Carolina. But I think he'll come out and he'll be ready to go. I think it all depends on really his fitness level. But if he's been practicing over in Sweden, he should be ready to go, and he should look like himself, like the Lindholm from last season when he comes out and plays his first game.
Yeah, I agree. And, going into this week, like we said, the Ducks can have three games, Columbus and Carolina, and the back-to-back scenario, and then Nashville on Saturday. And, looking at these games, the Columbus one's kind of an interesting one because, obviously they took it to the Ducks, and the Ducks are going to be looking for a little bit of payback. But we saw earlier in the week, Columbus really took it to Montreal, dropping 10 goals on them in that game. So looking at these three games, I mean, the Ducks have played well against Carolina. Nashville struggling. Obviously, we beat them by a big score, and they're probably going to look for a little bit of payback as well. But I think looking at these three games, it's kind of like last week. I think Columbus is going to be the one that's going to be tough here. I really think, they're just a little bit on a wave of momentum here. I mean, they're not a cup contending team, or they're not a Pittsburgh Penguin or New York Rangers or Blackhawks, but they've been playing the Ducks tough. So I think of the three games, I think the Ducks will pull out two out of these three, but I definitely think this Columbus one is going to be it's going to be a battle, Eddie.
Yeah, and normally you look at the schedule and say, well, Nashville is probably going to be the toughest game.
Right,
like
right.
You said, Columbus has been good. I mean, they've been unbelievable lately. They're second in, they're first in power play, second or third in penalty kill, in the top five in goals against per game, and just outside the top five in goals per game. I mean, they're sitting in the top five almost in every category in the NHL right now. They're getting outstanding goaltending from Sergei Bobrovsky. They dropped 10 goals, like you said, on the Montreal Canadiens. Montreal hadn't lost a regulation game before they saw Columbus, and then they fly into Columbus and get dummied 10-0. So, I mean, you don't beat any team 10-0 Yeah. If you're not a good team and you don't go out and you don't beat a team who hadn't lost in regulation 10-0, if you're not a good team. So I think they're trending upwards right now. Unfortunately for them, today they got the news that Seth Jones is out for the next 3 weeks with a fractured foot. So that's going to be a huge loss for them. He's a minute eater for them, you know, arguably their best defenseman. So that's a big loss for them. But no, it's going to be a tough game. You know, they have 4 days of rest coming into the game against us. You would expect Bobrovsky to get the start, and it's going to be a tough game. I mean, I don't know how to say in this game. I don't want to go. I don't want to get dummy 10-0 by the Columbus Blue Jackets like Montreal. So I think this is a key game for them. I think they're going to come all out. I think it's good that this is the first game on the back to back and not the other way around. Carolina is definitely the weaker team, and that one should be a win, even you know after playing a game against Columbus. And then you go into Nashville on the Saturday, and you know they're definitely going to be looking for revenge. They're kind of a sleeping giant in a team that should be doing a lot better, and they're not. You know, their home record is 2-1-1, which is okay. They've been really bad on the road, so you know it's always difficult to go into Nashville and play. We saw that in the playoffs as well. So it'll be an interesting game, and I think they can win 2 out of 3 here. You know, there's a chance to win 3 out of 3, but Columbus and Nashville are going to be tough games.
Yeah, I mean, they're all tough. They're always going to be tough. I don't want to say Carolina's going to be a gimme, but, I mean, Carolina's one you should win, and hopefully they'll win one of those other two. So that's what you got coming up on the week here. The Ducks will have those 3 road games, and they'll come back home for a 5-game homestand, you know, coming up on the Thanksgiving holiday and whatnot, and we'll obviously talk about those games on the next show. But something we didn't talk about last week and we definitely want to talk about this week, Eddie, is the Ducks players in the minor leagues and how they're just dominating right now in the minor leagues. I mean, it's just amazing. We can talk about the WHL, OHL, AHL, NHL. I mean, it's just the way these guys have been playing has been amazing. You look at the WHL and you look at Sam Steele, he's got 28 points in 13 games. I mean, he's just been on fire. I mean, we'll talk about Max Jones a little bit, but I mean, Sam Steele has been doing great. Josh Maher, he's been doing well, 20 points in 16 games. I mean, they've just been playing outstanding, you know, over there in the WHL, Eddie, as they've been just racking up points. That's all I can really say. They're just tearing it up.
Yeah, and really, when we drafted Sam Steele 30th overall last year, we knew he was a great playmaker, and he was going to be a good player. You don't draft a guy in the first round if you don't think he's going to be a good player. But wow, he's shown way more than we thought that he could. You know, he's shown way more than he has to his game than we thought. I mean, he has 14 goals this year in 13 games, and a whole aspect of his game that we didn't really know was there. He's putting the puck in the back of the net more than a goal per game. He's got, like you said, 28 points in 13 games. He's leading the WHL in points. He's leading the WHL in points per game. And he is arguably one of the best players in the CHL right now. So, I mean, it's a great start for him. Like you said, Josh Maher as well. He's leading the WHL in points by defenseman. So not only do we have the guy leading the whole the league in points, we've got the top scoring defenseman in the league as well. So, I mean, the WHL is great for the Ducks right now. Tyler Soy, who's a seventh-round pick for the Ducks, he has 20 points in 17 games. He's got 10 goals and 10 assists. So, you know, 3 guys that the Ducks drafted last year out of the WHL having big seasons so far. And, you know, look for right now, Sam Steele is playing for Team WHL against Team Russia. And he also is a guy that you could look to probably play for Team Canada in the World Juniors, too. So, you know, that's a guy you could look out for. You mentioned Max Jones earlier. He's tearing it up in the OHL right now with the London Knights. I watched him on the weekend play against Sudbury, and he scored 2 goals in that game. Unfortunately, got injured at the end, so I don't know how long he's going to be out there. But he has 20 points in 10 games. And without Marner, who's out with the Leafs, and Tkachuk, who we saw on the weekend with the Flames, and Dvorak, who's up with the Arizona Coyotes, he's really the go-to guy on this team, and he's taken it and he's run with it. I mean, he's been great. He's had a point in every game he's played with since coming into the Knights lineup, and he's just been unstoppable. I mean, barring a couple injuries, which have only allowed him to play 10 games this season, he's been one of the most dominant players in the OHL. And that's huge for him. And then I think I loved how you reacted to this goal on the weekend, but Julius Nottinen scored an unbelievable goal for the Windsor Spitfires on the weekend there, where he had a breakaway shorthanded and put the puck between his legs and scored top shelf on the Saginaw Spirit goaltender, which was one of the most unbelievable goals I've seen in the OHL since Max Domi flipped the puck over a goaltender. So, I mean, that was a great goal for him too, and it's just an unbelievable start for our prospects in the CWHL.
Yeah, when I saw the Nana goal, I was like, "Are you kidding me?" I'm like, "Did he really just do that? Did he put the puck between his legs behind him and then shoot it?" I was like, "No." I was like, what did I say? Oh, I said it was like the video game is what I said. I mean, that's just what you see on one of those games. You do the little special move, and then, you know, it never works in reality. It always works in the video games. And then here you see this play, and I'm just like, wow. I know I forgot whatever Twitter account put it out, but we retweeted that, and that was just crazy. So I was really impressed by that. I mean, will he be able to do it at the NHL level? I mean, I don't know. You don't see those as much, you know, as you do in the minor leagues, but still a great play all the way around. And, you know, one other guy, too, that's been doing well has been Montour with the goals. I mean, he's been blowing it up in the AHL with 53 shots on net, and he's leading the entire league. I mean, he's just been going bonkers, and he's got eight points. But, I mean, still, 53 shots, and I think you and I were talking about this. He's played in 8 games, and I think, didn't you say the second highest guy has played in 11 games with 41 shots? So yeah. I mean, he's going crazy.
Yeah, and really from a defenseman as well. I mean, it's unbelievable what he's doing and the amount of shots he's putting on net right now. Like you said, he's got 53 shots in those 8 games, and the next highest is Jake DeBrusque for the Providence Bruins, who has 41 shots in 11 games. So, I mean, he's got 12 more shots than the next highest guy, and he's played in 3 less games. So, I mean, he's just throwing everything he can to the net for the San Diego Goals right now. And, I mean, that's the type of defenseman we should be expect to be seeing from Brandon Montour. That's the type of play we expect to see from him. I mean, he is a power play quarterback. He should be throwing shots to that. I don't know if he should be throwing 53 shots to net, but I mean, hey, I mean, the more pucks you throw to net, the better things that can happen. And he's been great for them so far. He was great for them last year as well, and I think he'll play a similar role to what Theodore played last year. I think we'll definitely see him a couple times this year for the Ducks. Probably not till later on in the season, or if there's a mass amount of injuries on the blue line. There's a lot of depth there on the blue line for the Ducks this year, so it'll be interesting to see if he does get a shot. But you know, he's a guy that we could see as early as next year play some significant time with the Ducks. He's playing really well down in the AHL, and you know, once you start dominating in the AHL, you know, you're ready for the next level. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of impact he can make in the NHL.
Yeah, and I mean, his gameplay is like my strategy on all of the NHL video games. I just shoot the puck a lot. Everybody knows whenever I play in any of the video games, I just chuck the puck. You know, anybody that plays me is like, "Damn, dude, you just shoot it from everywhere." I'm like, "Yeah, shoot it, get a rebound, get a deflection. You know, do what you can to get the puck in the net." You know, because I mean, even sometimes, you know, certain teams, you know, some of the older, you know, not the current NHL games, but you know, some of the older ones when the Ducks, you know, the earlier years when it was the Mighty Ducks, and I always obviously picked them to play, and you know, all you had was you know, Korea and Solani on your team to try and score, you know, with the one line team. That's all I would do, and I still do it. I don't care. It's just, that's my strategy. So it's just kind of funny to see some of the stuff going on in the minor leagues. But I mean, like you said, it's all good news. So if you're not following the minor league stuff, I highly encourage, you know, I know the games aren't always on TV and it's harder to see what's going on, but, you know, just look for those if you can. Look for the stats and see what's going on, because it's a real good sign for the Ducks, you know, in the future. You've got all these guys down there. Like you said, you got the 3 guys in the WHL that were drafted last year that are going off. You know, you have Jones in the OHL that's doing well. And, you know, the other guys making plays as well. So we want to try and get more of these updates on the show, obviously, throughout the year. And we kind of forgot last week, but it was kind of good because more stuff, obviously, like the Nattenin crazy goal, that happened this week, too. So a lot of good stuff and those 3 minor leagues, obviously, that's going on. And as you notice, we've had some more and more articles, too, on the goals. We've had a couple of people writing about what's going on with them as well. So we're trying to keep you up to date, not only on the Ducks, but also on the organization as a whole. And you know, with that, we'll be back next week. Hopefully, the Ducks, like we said, win at least two out of these three. And just one quick thing: this show again was sponsored by Sons of Hockey. Check out their hockey gear. You can go to sonsofhockey.com, and they were donating proceeds to cancer as well. So, you know, if you want to help fight cancer and you want to get some good hockey gear to wear, check them out as well. And we'll be also doing more giveaways on the with tickets as well on social media. If some of you have noticed, we've done something new. Whenever the Ducks win and they score five goals, we're giving away two tickets to a Ducks game. So, and that's through our other sponsor. Their Twitter is Maple Stack, which they're an IT company. They're really big on website building and other things like that. So they've kind of joined on. They wanted to do this kind of thing. I guess, you know, in the past, you remember when the Ducks used to score five goals, they'd give out the Hooters, you know, discount on the wings or whatever. But we just figured we'd do something for the, you know, if they score five goals, and this time it'd be giving away tickets. So we gave away some tickets to the Military Appreciation Night, obviously against Calgary this last weekend. We gave away some more tickets coming up to the Oilers game. And we almost gave away some for the Calgary game. They had four goals. They're one short. So check out that. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and follow them on Twitter. And you'll see more giveaways for game tickets. And with that, we'll be back in a week. And let's go, Ducks.